This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, it is Lee Chui Lin alongside Ayman Rashad. First up on our show today, we're talking about government or patriotic songs. Let us know your faves. And of course, you can join the conversation at any point. Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. All this coming your way on the evening edition.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:05 in the evening with Lin and Ayman, and of course, it is Popek Popek. So, this hour, we're going to be discussing government songs and their effectiveness.
Yeah, so we're familiar with the Merdeka songs that are produced every year, right? And this is to celebrate our love for the country and to instill patriotism. But there are also government songs like Malaysia Bersih, which was first sung in April this year. Here's a snippet of it in case you haven't heard it before.
Okay. Actually, that's a lot catchier than I was expecting. I've never heard it before. And that was, I think, compared to what I grew up with in like the 90s and the noughties, that's kind of the production value's gone way up. So the song is actually, it's about integrity and cleaning up Malaysia from corruption. After our show yesterday on Taman Tasik Titi Wangsa, I was wondering which one it was, whether we were talking about littering or corruption. Turns out, the latter. So it's actually played at the beginning of certain government events after Negaraku. When the song was launched in April, Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad urged civil servants to embrace the lyrics and accompany it with hard work, trustworthiness and responsibility.
Yeah, so we can see that the value of these songs, it's seen in the message that they're trying to spread. But, you know, how effective are they actually? So we wanted to find out from the public, wanted them to share their thoughts on this matter. And here's what they said about what patriotic songs mean to them.
What does patriotic songs mean to me? It simply means that as a Malaysian, we have gone through some rough and tough times, and also we have achieved much more currently, I would say.
It means a lot to me because of the history, because the history will always define what's coming up for the future.
It makes me love my country, and yeah.
Whenever we sing the Malaysian song, the Negaraku, it does make me a bit patriotic.
So we also asked them for their favourites.
One of the songs that I like is the Inilah Barisan Kita, Yang Ikhlas Berjuang, Siap Sedia Berkorban Untuk Ibu Pertiwi.
Merahmu baras semangat wajah, putihmu bersih budi pekerti, kuning berdaulat payung negara, biru perpaduan kami semua.
I like this one song, the Tanggal 31. The one yang tanggal 31, bulan 8, 57.
I think it's like Jalur Gemilang di bawah naunganmu. Jalur Gemilang.
Yeah, I recognize most of those. And I think that we just wanted to talk about it because partly we've been talking about civic-mindedness, right? And about all the different ways of trying to inculcate these different things, whether it's patriotism or love of your country or civic consciousness, civic-mindedness, whether music is a way that works. And I really have a soft spot for these songs, I have to say, in the same way that we just heard people like sing Jalur Gemilang and Tanggal 31, I get it. Like, they're catchy. When they come on, there is a rising of spirits. and so it works for me in that regard. I don't know, however, if they're the best way to try to communicate more complex thoughts, such as like, hey, keep clean, don't, you know, engage in corruption.
I mean, I guess it works for some people. Like, people like you and me, we remember the Jalur Gemilang song very fondly. And I think it's got to do with a bit of nostalgia as well. I mean, that's true for me at least. I first heard it back in school. We sung it like every Merdeka, I guess. And it was a very catchy song. The lyrics were pretty good. But it may not work for some people, some target audience. we can see by these songs that have been released that, you know, they're really trying to nail down the catchiness of it. The sort of beats to it are very catchy. But my problem with it sometimes is the lyrics. I think the lyrics can be very on the nose, very in your face kind of thing. Like, we must be united, we must love our country, those kind of things. And that doesn't work for me, even though these songs sound catchy.
I think there's a reason why they work at very specific times of year. So, for example, around Merdeka and Malaysia Day, which is a period where, you know, this whole idea of patriotism and the love of the country is at an all-time high. Mm-hmm. In those times, when you hear really obvious lyrics, it doesn't matter because it's like, yeah, you're right. Go Malaysia. It also works during things like sporting events. I think just in those moments where you're already primed to love your country and to express that love, then it doesn't matter so much about the lyrics. But I think when you're just trying to kind of inculcate it on a daily basis, then I don't know. On a school level, I think it works. So, like you, I had to, I learned and heard those songs in school, you know, Jalo Gemilang, Keranamu Malaysia, Setia, like those are the songs that we memorized, we sang during Perhimpunan, you know, so it becomes something that sort of, you're almost absorbing it without knowing that you're absorbing it. And on that level, when you repeat it, you're singing it all together, I think it works. As adults, when you hear it again, I think that's when all the questions that you're raising, where it's like, this isn't very subtle, this is a little obvious. I think as adults, that's when it becomes quite apparent.
Yeah, which raises a question of, like, if a song like Malaysia Bersih is played at certain government functions where, you know, civil servants attend with the ministers and whatnot, how effective is it in encouraging people to fight corruption? Do we need a song for that, or are there other better ways to do it? I mean, I can't imagine myself being in the shoes of a civil servant, so I can't speak for them. But I guess it will be like an adult attending some kind of assembly and having a song forced upon you. It would seem a bit imposing, even though the intentions are pure. So in that sense, I don't think it would work for me if I were a civil servant listening to it in an assembly, in a government assembly.
As an adult. Right? The key thing is just as an adult, you're like, don't tell me what to do. So there is an element of that. We're talking today about patriotic songs, or, you know, songs that are put out by the government every so often to try to impart a message of, you know, loving your country, or any particular theme that they're looking at, for instance, corruption or anti-corruption. Do they work for you? You know, how do they make you feel? What are your favorites? Let us know. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be speaking after this with Shazlin Amehamza, who's a research fellow at the Institute of Ethnic Studies at UKM. That's coming your way after this. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It is coming along to 5:15 in the evening with Lynn and Ayman, and we're talking today about national songs, or, you know, patriotic songs, songs that are put out by the government every so often, produced every year to try to convey a sense of patriotism, a love of country, sometimes, you know, integrity, not accepting corruption, as in the case of Malaysia Bersih. So we wanted to know, what are your favorite songs in this category, as well as, you know, do they work for you? How do they make you feel? Call us and let us know at 7733 2900. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, joining us on the line is Shazlin Amehamza, who is a research fellow at the Institute of Ethnic Studies at UKM. Shazlin, thank you so much for being on the show. So what are government songs supposed to achieve?
Well, government songs, or in other words, patriotic songs, they function like totems. If you know what totems are, they are natural object or an animate being that is assumed as the emblem of a clan, a family, or a group. It is often distinctive and venerated like an emblem or a symbol, something you look up to, something that when you sing, it calls upon you to say that you're part of this community. So government songs are modern totems that are constructed in an effort to bind society together under the imagined nation intended by the government of the day. What's the nation that is intended by the government? And this is the force that that the songs can bring to the citizens. They are mobilized by the state to foster a sense of national cohesion and collective identity. So these songs are popular and they are accepted by Malaysian citizens as part of their national identity. And this affinity is mainly because these songs are repeatedly broadcasted on national radio, television and social media platforms, especially today.
And would you say that there is any distinction between a government song and a national song?
Right. This is a little bit tricky as the line between them is very blurred. They are very similar in nature, and some government songs may crisscross and overlap and borrow from national songs. The main difference would be that government songs are specifically commissioned by them, but national songs may be composed by a citizen who thinks it's their responsibility to come up with these songs. And there are a lot of more recent composers today and singers who think that I should come up and call for the citizens to say that this country is ours. There must be a song that can unite us, that at one time can bring us together. And for that reason, I think Faizal Tahir is doing a very good job.
Right. So, you've mentioned Faizal Tahir just then, artists who want to make patriotic songs. But how are government-led songs typically made? Are there composers and songwriters who particularly look to specialise in making patriotic music?
There is no real specific method for the government to make these songs. Sometimes they're made for a particular political campaign. A very popular one that I think all of us can remember is Setia. It was a song sang by Francisca Peters in 1987 and composed by Muhammad Rahmat, who was then the Minister of Information. The campaign was called Setia Bersama Rakyat, Semara, which was a program which was aimed at instilling patriotism among the people. So that was for a campaign. And then there's also a song called 31 August, which I'm sure you know, was also composed in 1957. So Sudirman one is not the original one. The original one was composed by Ahmad CB, who also sang it in 1957 in anticipation of the independence in 1957. Then in 1980, Sudirman made a remake of the song, which is popular as we know it today. So you see, sometimes these songs are made by the citizens who think there is a responsibility for them to create these songs. But some of them are, in my earlier answer, I did say something about crisscrossing. So there are no typical method to make. Some of the composers that lyricist singers that I can think of at this point from the 1950s and 1960s that I can name, the more popular ones are Saiful Bahri, Wan Ahmad Kamal, P. Ramlee and Saloma, of course, Ahmad Merican, S. Sudarmaji, Kasim Mahdur and Jamaluddin Alias. These are really people who are everyday. They are really people like you and me. They make songs. Sometimes they're commissioned by the government to make these songs, and sometimes their songs are taken by the government to be government and patriotic songs because the government thinks that, these are really nice songs to make as a government song. And, of course, today you have the likes of Sudirman and more recently Faizal Tahir, Siti Nurhaliza, Ella, Wah Idris, Hafsa Hassan, and even Joe Flito. So these people are actually doing their part.
And how well do you think the public have taken to patriotic songs?
Very well, actually. In fact, I recently did a study across Sabah, Sarawak and Klang Valley to find out how popular music and patriotic music have been received over time by Malaysian citizens who are consumers of music. So these are things that we are being exposed to, but really we don't really pay attention to it. And so I did a study with my good friend Dr. Adil from Cheetah as well. The study finds that patriotic songs in reality were actually more popular and wide-reaching in appeal across different professions, across different ethnicities, religions, and geographic locations of Malaysians. Patriotic music provides a means for social cohesion, not via the propagation of dogmatic patriotic content, but through the personal and intimate associations that such songs solicit from individual citizens. During the research that was being done, we actually did some focus group discussions with groups of people. And there were times when they got really excited when I asked them, because there was a section on listening to patriotic songs, and I played like 6 songs. And when it comes to 31 August, they literally stood up and sang together. So you wouldn't actually get a response like that if you play Isabella, for example. Yes, people know Isabella, sung by Search, but they wouldn't do what they did with 31 August.
So what do you think that says about the power of music when it comes to sending a message?
So regardless of the conscious awareness of our artists, musicians or citizens, the nation will always possess national and patriotic music. These songs usually express richly layered meanings and evocative metaphors, also providing an ideal archetype for other forms of music produced within the national context. Look at, for example, Negaraku. It is loved and deeply felt by each and every one of us, and it cuts across all sorts of boundaries, be it ethnicity, be it religion, economic differences, so on and so forth. So the malleable qualities of songs, of these songs, render them perfect instruments for shaping a nation's image, and by extension, its national identity. So these songs, they actually have the ability to project sonic symbols. So we need to hear as much as we need to see the symbols. Like we want to see flags, we also need to hear the country. So this is what I meant by sonic symbols. They can enhance the importance of a nation. That is the power of that music has in sending messages.
So is there a patriotic song that you yourself have found particularly catchy or effective?
Okay, an older one would be Tanah Pusaka, composed by Tan Sri Ahmad Merican. That is a really, it's really like a song that brings you back in time. I don't know, perhaps because I'm of the age I am today, but it really takes me into an era where you really feel that, I can be anywhere on this planet. I can be, in a different country for that matter. And if it is aired, I would stand up and I would say, that's my country. It calls to me. So I'd have to say that's Tanah Pusaka, and a more older one. If you're talking about a more recent one, would be Faizal Tahir's Gemuruh. This one is particularly catchy, I must say, and if you can recall, almost every other sports event would play Faizal Tahir's Gemuruh. And it really, when somebody wins, after you sing that song, it really gives you goosebumps. Yeah, I'd say those are my top ones.
So considering that there are already people who are doing it well, how do you think patriotic songs could be improved even further to be more appealing to Malaysians and to reach them at a deeper level?
As I said earlier, from the recent research that was done, these songs are already appealing to all of us, though we may not know it. We really don't realise it. It is already appealing. But if you ask, in my personal opinion, don't overmix genres just to attract a younger generation. An older song will remain appealing on its own. You may remake the song, you may make a Siti Nurhaliza version of it, or you may make a newer version of it. Yes, but don't overmix genres, like trying to mix too much rap into a government song. Just don't exactly make the cut. People forget those kind of songs, they really do.
And just going back to Malaysia Bersih, right, do you think that will successfully catch on?
Malaysia Bersih will catch on because it is repeated. It's a repeated song over television, over radio, and there may be schools who are making it compulsory for students to sing the song apart from Negaraku during their Monday assemblies. Whether or not it's catching on is really up to individuals. I have to say that because if you ask me, like you asked me in the previous earlier question, what are my top picks? I can have a different answer as opposed to another individual. It could be an age thing. It could be an environment thing. Yeah, it could be anything. But yeah, going back to your question, Malaysia Bersih, to me, will catch on because of the fact that it's being repeated. so people remember. Although you may not buy a Spotify list of national songs, you will still remember the lyrics because it's repeated.
Shazlin, thank you so much for weighing in. That was Shazlin Amihamza, Research Fellow at the Institute of Ethnic Studies at UKM, talking to us about, well, the popularity, the enduring popularity and the efficacy, really, of government songs, national songs, patriotic songs. We've been asking you, do they work for you or are you like Ayman, unmoved? By them. And what are your favourites? You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
And we have a message from Perry saying, I love the one that starts off Demi Negara Yang Tercinta.
I can already hear the rest of that song. And like, yeah, I think Satya is, as Shazlin said, I think one of the great ones, and it also, I think, got rejuvenated during the campaign period for GE14. Mm-hmm. So during that time, it was used, I think, to great effect. And that also speaks to not just the power of repetition, but the power of nostalgia. Because I think a lot of the older songs really have that quality of throwing you back to, I suppose, simpler times.
And because of the age of those songs, mm-hmm. the likelihood of them having been played lots of times throughout the years also means that, you know, a wider range of people have heard it, more people have heard it. So in terms of it being, you know, part of like the national consciousness, it really is there just because of the age of the song itself.
Sharif says Sahati Sajiwa by Alif Sata, the best.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Oh, it's a good one.
Is it?
I have to say though, judging by, I think that there is going to be a bit of a divide here because I am somebody who prefers the more upbeat songs. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoy like Granamu Malaysia. I enjoy the shouting of Jalo Gemilang. but I understand that the ballads also have a place. And I think the slower ones seem to be the ones that are coming through. Yeah, tell us what your favourites are. Tell us whether they work for you. Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.